At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Colonel Jeff McCausland in Gaza. The ceasefire, day 42, day 41. In any event, there is information suggesting that the hostages who were alive and are alive have been returned, that what remains are not living hostages. That's speculation. At the same time, there's remarks suggesting that Hamas is preparing for a round of artillery fire or rocket fire, and the IDF is watching. The ceasefire is, at this point, fragile. Mr. Netanyahu has said in the latest headlines to ask for an extension of the ceasefire, whatever that, phase one, whatever that means. However, Jeff, Hamas looks broken. 5,000 to 10,000, many of them tracksuit-wearing teenagers with different weapons in their hands. You can even see it when they put them out for display in these grotesque demonstrations of returning hostages. They're not well-trained, is what I'm told. And therefore, if they go up against the IDF will make very short work of it. That is martyrdom, Jeff. Does that describe something that you see now in Gaza, that the Hamas mean to go out by sacrificing more children?
Sadly, John, it truly is a possibility. I mean, the conundrum right now is we're supposed to be moving to phase two of these negotiations, and that was supposed to be ongoing already. Those have not really commenced. There is provision in the agreement, as I understand it, for some extension of the agreement. So that might be extended for a few days or maybe a couple of weeks. There might even be a further exchange of some hostages, be they living and dead, as Hamas will probably try to seek the release of as many of its own people who have been detained in Israeli jails or prisons picked up in Gaza. So they might try to extend that. But the conundrum is that the Israeli objective in those negotiations is to end Gaza, or Hamas having any political control over the Gaza Strip and having any military presence in the Gaza Strip, and return then, as part of phase two, a full Israeli withdrawal. Obviously, that suggests that Hamas would be negotiating for its end, and it seems unlikely that they will accept that particular those particular provisions, particularly the one that they give up any possibility of being a military force. Sadly, they being a extreme Islamic motivated terrorist organization leaves them perhaps with that only option, which is martyrdom, and what they believe that might do in terms of trying to stimulate what they had wanted all along, which was a wider conflict involving more Arab countries around that they hoped they could ignite in their effort to destroy the state of Israel.
To the building, the Pentagon. The news comes that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Air Force General C.Q. Brown, F-16 pilot, is to be replaced. And the nomination is a man named John Daniel Raisin Kane, was his call sign as an F-16 pilot, a retired three-star Air Force general. You tell me that General Kane, if he's to be successful as the new chairman, must go through some hoops. What kind of hoops, Jeff?
Well, a number of hoops. One is, under the law, he is not qualified to become chairman because the law, the Goldwater-Nichols Act, proclaimed that anyone serving as chairman has had to have been either the vice chairman, had been one of the service chiefs, or been a commander of one of our regional or functional commands around the world. And Kane has had none of those. Now, the law does provide that the president can give a waiver if he thinks it's in the dramatic interest of national security, and very likely Mr. Trump might do that. Number one. Number two, he has to be promoted, because he's a three-star, to four-star and brought back on active duty because he retired. His promotion to four-star, any promotion to four-star officer requires a Senate vote. So they would have to vote on his promotion. And then thirdly, he has to go through, of course, Senate confirmation hearings, as anyone would who's being appointed to that particular position.
This is Air Force for Air Force. But we do not have information about the Army or the Marine Corps. We do have that the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Franchetti, is asked to step down, but we don't have a name for the CNO. What does this mean for the services, Jeff, to have the chiefs all replaced or maybe replaced in the middle of their term?
Well, it's very unusual, but not unprecedented. The chiefs are appointed and the chairman for two-year terms with the possibility of a second two-year renewal, and most historically have been renewed. They're tried to be selected out and not consistent or coincident with a presidential appointment because they serve at the pleasure of the Constitution more than a particular government. They are apolitical. So when a new government comes to power, of course, all cabinet secretaries resign, ambassadors resign, the service chiefs, the chairman, they continue. But there have been cases in past. That being said, and this is somewhat unprecedented in firing not only the CNO, but the chairman, also, by the way, the commandant of the Coast Guard, though she's part of HLS, at the onset.
We have 30 seconds, Jeff. Go ahead.
It raises the possibility of you politicizing the military. And second of all, it certainly seems, since Franchetti was a woman and Brown was an African-American, that you're suggesting that they were promoted to those positions based on their color or their sex, which then suggests any officer, woman, African-American, Latino, can only believe he or she was promoted based on their skin color or their sex.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.